Real Ghost Stories Online.
The love of two people, whether it be romantic love, whether it be a relationship love from a grandmother to a granddaughter or whatever that may be, knows no bounds. If there is that connection that is that strong, it can easily travel miles. It can travel time, space, and be felt by those who it's meant for. Sometimes we just have to be looking for it. That's exactly what one granddaughter actually finds out in our next story, as she gets the very sad news that her grandmother, who's been deteriorating for quite some time, has reached the end stages. They're 4,000 miles apart, though. And even before Grandma passes, she's able to communicate in only a way she could with her granddaughter all those miles apart. It's quite a story. Take a listen. This story is about the unbreakable bond I have or had with my grandmother, even as she lay dying, fighting to stay alive until I made it home, and even after her death. I hope you enjoy reading this, and it gives you some insight into the relationship we can have with one another. I've always been a grandma's girl. She was everything to me, the one person who I never wanted to disappoint. It's not that I did not care what my parents thought about some of the things I did growing up, but disappointing my grandma, Mom, as I called her, was unthinkable for me. I spent so much of my life with her. I mean, from the day I was born until the day my husband and I moved to Alaska, I was with her as much as I could be, even when 4,000 miles separated us. I called her every week, sometimes more than once, just so she knew she was always in my thoughts. In January of this year, my parents had gone up to Alabama to visit her for a long weekend. She would no longer live in her house alone, as she had Alzheimer's and even thought it was in its first stages. She had become confused several times, and we all felt it better that she goes into assisted living. I tried to reach my parents all day so I could talk with my grandma and see how she was enjoying her weekend. Being over here in Germany, there's a 7-hour time difference, so I tried again later in the evening and still did not get them. I got a feeling that something was wrong, so I texted my cousin Jackie, who lived not far from Grandma, and asked if she had seen my parents, and she texted me back, "Call me," in all caps. I just felt my stomach drop. I called her and she asked me if I'd talked to my parents at all, and I said, "No, what's going on?" She said that I needed to sit down, and then she told me that Grandma had fallen and broken her hip. I felt sick. When an 85-year-old person has this kind of injury, it is usually not a promising result. She explained how it happened and that my mom and dad were at the hospital with her, as well as my aunt and uncle. We talked for a while and I asked her to call my mom and let her know that I wanted to talk to one of my parents and have one of them call me. My dad and I touched base and he said they would keep me up to date. Grandma's first week was hard. She was in an enormous amount of pain. I got to talk to her one night and I told her to fight to get better so I could come home and we could go and do things together. She said she'd try as hard as she could. I had faith that she would recover. She was tough. I guess God had another plan for her, though. She fought it in her little body as much as she could. The week of February 20th, she was just near the end. We all knew that she was slipping away. On the night of the 23rd, I called and told my mom I had to speak to her if she was awake, and she was. I tried to hold back my tears and be strong for her, but it was so hard. She knew it was me. She asked me when I was coming home. And I told her that I was working on getting a flight out for the 24th or 25th, but I would be there soon. I begged her to hold on until I could get there, and she said she would. I told her how much I loved her, and the last thing she said was, "I love you too, honey." I could almost feel her arms around me hugging me as she said it. I did not know those words would be her last words to me. I got a flight for the morning of the 25th. The night of the 24th, I was finishing packing and was in my downstairs bathroom putting my shampoo and cosmetic bag together, and suddenly I got a whiff of eternity perfume. It was like it blew in with the wind. It was her favorite. She wore it all the time. I do not have any, and I have not been packing my perfume yet, so there was no way that scents could have mixed. I knew it was her. I did not know that she would slip into a coma only a few hours later. I slept maybe 2 hours at night. I was too on edge. My husband and kids drove me up to Frankfurt, to the airport about an hour from our house. We had little time to kill before my flight, so we ate and the kids played in the airport for a while. Right after I had said my goodbyes to go through security, I heard my name being called in a gentle whisper. She said, D, my nickname that she always called me by. I knew that she was there, and she knew that I was on the way. My cousin and aunt told her as she slipped into her coma that Dee's on her way. Mom, just hold on a little longer. We're a very tight-knit family. And some would say I was Grandma's favorite. I don't know, but our bond was different than any others. I had a 10-hour flight ahead of me, and I was exhausted already. I think I slept about half of the way over. I remember tracking my flight on the headrest screen, and we were almost over Canada, and I thought, how much longer could she hang on? Was I selfish to ask her to fight it? I just hoped and prayed that she'd be alive when I got to her side. When I had my layover in Atlanta, I called my cousin Jackie to ask how Grandma was, and she said the same, so I felt a little better. I'd be in Birmingham within an hour. When I got off in Alabama, Jackie and my dad were waiting on me with open arms. My dad walked ahead of us, and I asked Jackie how Mom was, and she said, Uncle Joe. So I knew she was gone. I told her to just tell me the truth. And she said that Mom passed about 6:30 that morning. I stood there stunned. She did not want to tell me when I called from Atlanta, so I'd not be upset on the plane, and I understood. I did not cry. I just held it together. The ride to Grandma's house seemed like it would never end. I remember as I walked into the house, I could still smell her scent, even though she had been living in assisted living for a while. I swear I heard her say, Dee. I walked over to my mom and hugged her and started to sob. I could not fight it anymore. I did not see her until the night of the viewing. She looked like an angel, more beautiful than I'd ever seen her. My cousin Julie did her hair and makeup and painted her nails. She looked perfect. I just did not want to let her go. When they closed the lid of her casket, a part of me went with her. It was pouring down rain outside. We could not even go with her to the cemetery. We all felt horrible about it. We didn't want to leave her there alone in the rain. My heart just broke open. I think we all felt helpless. I still feel like a little girl lost without my grandma. My parents and I drove home to Florida 2 days after the funeral. I stayed in the house most of the time while they were at work. Jet lag finally got me, and I was grieving as I never had before. And all I wanted was to sleep. Friday morning, my friend Carol decided to get me out of the house to go shopping, then have lunch since she had not seen me since the funeral, and I was coming back to Germany the following week. I was sitting in my bed putting my makeup on when I happened to glance up and see a white mist that almost had the shape of a woman in a dress float past my door and go down the hall to my mom and dad's room. I called out, Mom, is that you? I did not hear anything, but deep down, I knew it was her. The morning I got back on the plane to come back to Germany, I remember getting settled into my seat and racking out before the plane left the ground. When I woke up, I heard beating wings in my right ear. I knew that she was watching over that flight, guiding me back home to my husband and kids. It has been just over 4 months now since she left this world and went on to the next. I've seen the woman in white mist twice since that I've been back. I know she's always with me, watching over my family. She's appeared like that to my mom's little sister once since her death. My aunt knows without a doubt that it was Mom who visited her and me, since we both saw the same thing. It gives me some comfort to know that she's always by my side. But at the same time, I just wish I could have her back.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. GhostPodcast.com or Patreon.com/RealGhostStories.